This is it before.
That
This is
way.
it before Rosh Hashanah, and so makes sense to talk about the mitzvah of shofar. But as always, I want to try to do two things at the same time. I want to try to understand the halachic definition of the mitzvah of shofar as it fits into halachic definitions for other mitzvahs. But I think that's only the first part. There's a deeper part of shofar, even after you get through the halachic definition, there's trying to understand the meaning of shofar. And I think that shofar is a mitzvah in which the meaning and the definition of the mitzvah comes together, or at least that's what I hope to prove. Everybody knows there's a famous machlokas about what is the mitzvah of shofar. We'll get to it in a minute, but everybody knows, you know, is the mitzvah to hear or is the mitzvah to blow? We, of course, paskin that the mitzvah is to hear. But again, I think that's only the beginning of the conversation. Because when there's a mitzvah to hear, and I'm pretty sure it's the only mitzvah of its kind, it needs an explanation. You know, what does it mean that there's a mitzvah to hear? So for example, you know, when you listen to Kriyas HaTorah, even for example, if you thought that Parsha Zachor is a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's remembering, it's not just hearing, right? Mikra Megillah is actually not just hearing. Mikra Megillah is somebody, but we're all supposed to read it. Okay, so Shomea Ka'ona, it's as if we read it. But what's the understanding of how it works with shofar? That's what we want to discuss. So let's pull up a sheet, and here we go. Let's start with an obvious inconsistency in the Rambam. It's not a stira, it's not a contradiction. But the Rav pointed this out, and a lot of the stuff I say today is are things I read in the name of the Rav. Here's the Rambam in what we call the Koteret to Hilchos Shofar Sukkah V'Lulav. Just to be clear, I assume that Shofar wasn't big enough for its own, and Lulav wasn't big enough for its own, and Sukkah wasn't big enough for its own, so the Rambam put them all together in a sefer, you know, something called Shofar Sukkah V'Lulav. In the introduction, as the Rambam does before every set of halachos in the Yad HaChazaka, he tells you how many mitzvot there are. So he says, Yesh bichlalon shalosh mitzvot aseh. There are only three mitzvot associated with them. And of course, they are hearing a shofar, sitting in a sukkah, and taking a lulav. But here's the one we want. Aleph, lishmoa kol shofar be'echad b'tishrei. Says the Rambam, first of all, the mitzvah is to hear. What are you supposed to hear? You're supposed to hear the sound of a shofar. Great. And when are you supposed to hear it? You're supposed to hear it on the first day of Tishrei. There's nothing particularly unusual about the Rambam's formulation until you look at the next halach, or the first halach in the Rambam, the very next thing in source number two. The Rambam says, Mitzvat aseh shel Torah lishmoa truat ha-shofar barosh hashanah. Shenemar Yom Teruah Yelachem. That's the proof text. That's the pasuk. Okay, and he just adds v'shofar shetokin bo bein barosh hashana bein biyovel hu keren hakivasim hakafuf. It's a ram's horn. But let's go back to the language the Rambam used. First of all, he's completely consistent with the hakdama in which, and he says the mitzvah in the first source is lishmoa kol shofar. The mitzvah in the second source, mitzvah aseh shel Torah lishmoa. That's consistent. But now it changes. In the Koteret, the Rambam said the mitzvah is lishmoa kol shofar. In the Halacha, the Rambam says lishmoa tiruat ha-shofar. Now again, it's not wrong. It's not a stira. It's different. Why in one place you have to hear shofar? In the other place you have to hear truat ha-shofar. And then I think even the more obvious one, in the Koteret, you have to hear it, Be'echad B'tishrei.
One second.
In the Koteret, you have to hear it on Echad B'tishrei. In Halacha Aleph, you have to hear it on Rosh Hashanah. Now, of course, they're the same day. It's odd, and the Rav pointed, it's just odd that the Rambam uses two different formulations. One, Kol Shofar on the first day of Tishrei, The other one, Truat HaShofar on Rosh Hashanah. Yes, Jackie.
Truat is another word for kol. It's just a synonym.
Great. But when the Rambam changes synonyms, or in this case, changes verbs, no, synonyms, the Rambam changes the noun. In one place, it's kol. In one place, it's truat. I said, it's not a stira. It's interesting. It's worth investigating. If you're, you know, if you think otherwise, it's fine. I'm not tied to this. I just think it's hard to ignore. The Rambam has two completely different formulations right next to each other. Okay. But the part of it, so that's a question I think is worth investigating. And again, I think it's worth investigating because the Rav thought it was worth investigating. Now, the thing that was consistent in the Rambam is that the mitzvah is Shmiah. So let's take a second to just look at really probably the most famous machlokes relating to shofar. That's a good place to look at source number three, the Rush. The Rush says as follows. V'rabbeinu tam kasav sheyesh levarech al tikiat shofar. The bracha that we're supposed to make on Rosh Hashanah is asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al tikiat shofar. We, of course, make Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu Lishmoa Kol Shofar. So the Rosh says, obviously, Rabbeinu Tam has a different mitzvah. His bracha is Al Tikiat Shofar. Why? Mishum de Asiyata Higmar Mitzvata. Because blowing the shofar is the mitzvah. It's not always the case that you can be medayik from the lashon of the bracha into the substance of the mitzvah. But here it seems pretty safe that if you're gonna make a bracha of al tikiat shofar, then the bracha is blowing. Just like when you make a bracha of al mikra megillah, the bracha, the mitzvah is reading. When you make a bracha of lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, the bracha, the mitzvah is lighting. Right? The brachas are supposed to match up. So that's the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. V'Rav Yahavi HaYerushalmi that says, Tokea shofar tzarich levarech asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu lishmoa b'kol shofar and shechiyanu v'achakach tokin v'chein kasav bahag hadu b'marchim lishmoa b'kol shofar v'lo m'varchim litkoa b'shofar or al tikiyat shofar. Why don't we make a bracha using the word tikiya as opposed to shmiya? He says, just like Al Mikra Megillah, Bishum, Dishmiat Kol Shofar, Hu Yotzei, Velo Bitkiat Shofar. Because in fact, the mitzvah is to hear the sound of a shofar and not to blow a shofar. This is a whole complicated discussion, which we're not going to get into right now. But the Gemara has cases, right? A person's in a pit and he blows shofar. But what he hears is the echo. So that Gemara seems to make clear that the mitzvah is to hear shofar and not to blow it. For us, it makes it easier because it's not that the Baal Tokeh is really being motzi us. He's blowing and we're hearing. Of course, it's more complicated than that, but it's not a din of shomea ka'ona. It's not that he's doing it for me. He's doing the thing that I need in order to be Yotzei the mitzvah of hearing shofar. If he doesn't blow, I can't be Yotzei. But he's not really being motzi me, you know, in the way that we normally talk about in other mitzvahs. Okay? So again, we hold the mitzvah as hearing, but again, you have to hear the actual sound of a shofar. So for example, you know, you can't do it on Zoom, right? You can't hear a recording. You have to hear from somebody who's a mechuyav b'davar. So, for example, if the greatest shofar blowing in the world is not blower in the world is not Jewish, well, you can go to a concert, I suppose, but you can't be yotzei with him because he is not emitting the sound of the mitzvah of shofar. It sounds exactly the same, but what he's doing is not the mitzvah of shofar. Therefore, he can't be motzi me. Okay. That's all pretty well known. But let's move on to the thing I really want to discuss, and that's trying to understand the essence of the mitzvah of shofar. And here, I want to start with another question from a famous but slightly strange Gemara. Source number four, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Chavav Amud Aleph, says as follows. The Amar Rav Chizda, the context of the Gemara is as follows. The Gemara is discussing what animal's horn we can use to be yotze, for a shofar, to be yotze the mitzvah of shofar. What animal can it come from? So the Gemara seems to say that it can't come from like a bull, because a bull reminds us, or reminds God, of the Chet HaEgel. And that's terrible. So therefore, you know, we have to find another horn to use because we don't want to remind God of the Chet HaEgel. And this ties into a famous principle. And now we start the Gemara in source number four in Rosh Hashanah Chavav Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Damar of Chizda, mipnei ma ein kohen gadol nichnas bibigdei zahav lifnai velifnim la'avod avoda." Why is it that all year long the kohen gadol wears his golden clothing when he does the avoda, and he even wears it on Yom Kippur, but he switches to the bigdei lavan, to the white bigadim, when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Why does he do that? By the way, in parentheses, you know, we always assume that there's something magical about the big day lavan on Yom Kippur. And I assume there is. But in the context of this Gemara, no, they're not special. They're just not the big day zahav. Okay, back to our point. Why does the Kohen Gadol not wear the big day zahav when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So the Gemara says, Lefi she'ein kategor na'aseh sanegor. Literally, it means because the prosecuting attorney cannot also be the defense attorney. What does it mean? What it means is gold reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Chet HaEgel. So we don't want the Kohen Gadol coming into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur trying to get kapara, and his clothing will remind God of the thing we're trying to distract God from. Okay, literally, you know, the gold is evidence against us. It's not something we want to put forth in our defense. Now the Gemara has a series of technical questions. Velo, is that really true? You're not allowed to remind God of the Chet HaEgel in any way. Va'ika dam par. Wait, you bring blood of the par, right? A par reminds God of Chet HaEgel. Now the Gemara says, Hol v'ishtani ishtani. It's not a bull. It's not a cow. It's just the blood. It changed. Doesn't remind God. Va'ika aron v'kapora sukruv. Wait, you say you're not supposed to bring gold into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Wait, the aron is there. The kruvim are there. They're all made of gold. Now, says the Gemara, chote bal yakriv ka'amrinan. You're not supposed to bring gold in, but if it's there already, somehow it doesn't trigger this memory. Another question. Va'ika kafu matha. Wait, the coin comes in with the shovel and the spoon, and they're made of gold. Nah, chote bal yisna kamrinan. Means he's not supposed to wear gold, but if he's just holding the gold, that's okay. Last one. Vahika big dezav mi bachutz. The strongest question. Wait, but the Kohen Gadol wears gold all day long. It's true he takes them off and switches to big day lavan when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but, you know, presumably God could see outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why aren't we worried that the Kohen Gadol wearing gold will remind God of Chet HaEgel? Answers the Gemara, no. This Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar, the defense and prosecution switching jobs, Mi Bifnim Kamrinan. It only applies in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. For whatever reason, outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it doesn't apply. And now we get to our point. If that's the case, why is it that the Gemara says we're not allowed to use the horn of a ram, of a bull, as a shofar? Shofar nami bibichotzu. We thought that the reason we're not allowed to use a shofar of an axe is because ein kateger nasa saneger. You can't make the prosecutor into the defense attorney. But we just learned in the Gemara that's just a din in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's just a din bifnim. Great, you don't blow shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why can't we use the horn of an axe? Answers the Gemara, no. Kevan de lizikaron hu, because the purpose of shofar is to trigger a memory, kibifnim dami. It's as if you're blowing it in the Kodesh HaKadashim. So I don't have a question so much as it's just hard to understand. What does the Gemara mean that because blowing shofar is lizikaron, so even though you blow shofar outside of the Kodesh HaKadashim, or even though you blow shofar in Chutz La'aretz, it's kibifnim dami. You still can't use the horn of an ox because it reminds God of the Chet HaEgel. Why would that be? Okay, so far we have two questions. One, why does the Rambam switch his formulation of the mitzvah? One place, the mitzvah is to blow shofar on the first of Tishrei. In the other place, the mitzvah is to hear the sound of a trua on Rosh Hashanah. Second question now, what in the world does Gemara mean that when you blow shofar, it's as if you're in the Kodesh HaKadosh? Okay, let's start at the beginning. The psukim relating to the mitzvah of shofar, there's two of them, I just quoted one, they're not that clear. Here's the pasuk in Amor, in source number 5. Daber el b'nei Yisrael le'mor, b'chodesh ha-shivi'i be'echad la'chodesh, yihiyeh lachem shabbaton. Okay, on the first day of the seventh month, of course, is Tishrei, the first month is Nisan, it's the seventh to Nisan. On the first day, it'll be a Shabbaton, Zichron Torah Mikra Kodesh. A remembrance, right? It's a holiday. What's the content of the holiday? Zichron Torah Mikra Kodesh. It's a reminder of the sound of a trua, or presumably you have to blow the sound of a trua, Mikra Kodesh. It's a holy convocation. Okay? Now, what's interesting is Rashi. I don't think any of us would have seen this in the pasuk. Rashi there says, Zichron Teruah. What do those words mean? Zichron Pisuke Zichronot Upsuke Shofarot. When the Torah says Zichron Teruah, it's referring specifically to, well, we think of it as Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, the three critical elements of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Says Rashi, the word Zichron Teruah are the source for the fact that we have to say Zichronos and Shofros. Lizkar lachem Akedat Yitzchak shekarav tachtav ayel. Because it reminds God of Akedat Yitzchak, where obviously Avram Avinu in the end sacrificed the ram in place of his son Yitzchak. But what Rashi seems to be saying, even if it's not 100% clear, is if there's a source in the Pasuk for Zichronos and Shofros, and presumably Rashi understands that it means via a shofar, so that's Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, it sounds like Rashi's saying that Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros are min haTorah, which would mean something very strange but unique, that davening Musaf on Rosh Hashanah is the mitzvah min haTorah. Because that's when we say Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. And Rashi has sourced Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros to this pasuk in Amor. Now, it doesn't bother me. It's exciting to think that Musaf on Rosh Hashanah would be a mitzvah del Raisa. Generally speaking, the specific prayers, even according to the Rambam, are drabanan. But here Rashi has this very interesting idea that Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, the text of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah would be De'oraisa. The Ramban doesn't like it at all, mostly because he thinks it's obviously wrong. The Ramban in source number 6 says as follows. It's a lovely drasha that Rashi said that Zichron Teruah refers to Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, aval kol ze asmachta midivrehem. Ramban says, it's a nice drasha, but it's an asmachta. What's an asmachta? An asmachta is something that looks like a d'oraisa, but isn't. Right? You use the psukim to prove something, but the psukim don't really prove it. The psukim are just some kind of mnemonic device or reminder of the mitzvah itself. But the Ramban says nobody thinks that that's the source for Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Now, how does he know that? He says, because it's a Beferish Gemara. Umeforash Amru, The Gemara paskins holchin lemakom shetokin, ve'ein holchin lemakom shemivarchin. The Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah has a question. There are two shuls in the town you live in. Okay, but you live a long time ago before the printing press, and you don't have a machzor. One shul has a machzor. If it's an old shul, I'm sure it's the Birnbaum edition. Okay. But it's just like this. I think now it's like the 70th anniversary of the Birnbaum thing, or the 80th. I just read an article. Okay, it doesn't matter. One place has a machzor, the other place has no machzorim, but it has a shofar. So the Gemara asks, you have a choice between being able to daven on Rosh Hashanah or being able to hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The answer is exactly what we would think. Holchim lemakom shetokin. You go where you could hear shofar. But the Gemara itself there says, well, pshita, hadoraisa v'hadrabanan. Of course, that's the answer. Everybody knows shofar is doraisa, davening is drabanan. So the Gemara says, no, lo tzricha da'af al gav da'havadai v'hasafei. No, the answer is you go to the shul that has a shofar, even if you're not sure. It's possible the shul has a shofar. It's possible it doesn't. The other shul for sure has a machzor. Even there, says the Gemara, that you would always choose the shofar. So, of course, the Ramban's question is pretty strong. Didn't Rashi know this Gemara? How in the world could Rashi claim that Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros are d'oraisa when the Gemara makes it clear that they're d'rabanan? Now let's just finish the Ramban and we'll come back to that. Aval zichron tura kimo yom tura yelachem. It's just like the pasuk in Pinchas. Zichron tura, yomar shenaria biyom azeh. The point is, we're supposed to blow shofar on this day. V'yihiye lanu lezikaron lifnei Hashem. Kimo shenemar lahalanu katem b'chatzotzrot v'hayu lachem lezikaron lifnei Elokeichem. Says the Ramban, the words in the Pasuk mean exactly what we think they do, which is, we're not just blowing shofar. Shofar is a means to an end. The end is Zikaron Lifnei Hashem Alokechem. The purpose of shofar, as we've seen before, even in the Gemara that we didn't understand, the purpose of shofar is sort of to remind God of things that we've done, so that presumably He'll judge us favorably and he'll be good to us. Okay, that's very straightforward. But we're still left with a problem that you get in learning sometimes, which is the Ramban's proof is so strong, right? There's only one Gemara. And that Gemara concludes that when faced with a choice between shofar and musaf, you pick shofar because shofar is doraisa and musaf is drabana. How could Rashi paskin against that Gemara? How could Rashi claim that the psukim of Musaf are sourced in the pasuk in Amor, in the word Zichron Teruah, when the Gemara says otherwise? So there's a well-known explanation for Rashi. I don't know who said it first, but it will set us on a path towards the conclusion that I think we can reach. And that is, of course, Rashi knows the Gemara. And Rashi knows that when faced with a choice between shofar and davening, then the answer is you pick shofar. But Rashi wasn't talking about that case. What Rashi was saying was, when you have a shofar and you daven musaf that's interspersed with tkiyas shofar, even your musaf becomes d'oraisa. On its own, musaf on Rosh Hashanah is like musaf on a Shabbos. It's lovely, it's obligatory, we do it, but it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. But Rashi says, if you do both together, if shofar is blown the way we do it, as part of musaf, then all of musaf becomes doraisa. Then malchios, zichronos, and shofros, when combined with the actual blowing of a shofar, becomes doraisa, even though malchios, zichronos, and shofros on its own would be a drabanan. Here you start to see, assuming that this explanation Rashi is correct, you start to see a connection between the mitzvah of shofar and davening. something you normally don't find with mitzvos. For example, it's true that we wave a lulav and esrog during halal and shul, but that's not the mitzvah, right? The mitzvah is to wave a lulav and esrog and hadasim and aravos. Okay, it's lovely that we try to do it as part of halal, but in no place is that the definition of the mitzvah. It has nothing to do with davening. You know, kiddush. Okay, people make people make kiddush and shul on Friday night. It has nothing to do with davening. It has nothing to do with shul, right? We light a menorah in shul, but it's nothing to do with shul. It's just a nice minhag, right? It has nothing to do with davening. Generally speaking, mitzvos exist on their own, not as part of davening. But here the answer is it's different on Rosh Hashanah. Rashi is saying that when you put shofar together with tefillah, it's a more advanced form of shofar, and of course it's a more advanced form of tefillah. And this idea, if not specifically this idea, but the general idea, is all over the Rambam.
Eli?
Yes.
Isn't there something, if you have a choice between shofar and tefillah, doesn't shofar take a priority?
Yeah, that's the Gemara we just read. Yeah, absolutely.
But the answer
is, that's when you have a choice. But what Rashi's saying is, when you could do both together, tefillah with shofar might be a doraisa, a kiyum of a doraisa. You're absolutely right. You ask me, you have a choice between shofar and davening, of course you pick shofar. But what Rashi's saying is when you do both together, even the davening gets elevated by the shofar. Okay? Let's go. Let's see if we can't see this idea in the Rambam. The Rambam in Ilchos Tshuva, it's a really beautiful Rambam, they all are. And source number 7 says as follows. Listen to this. Afal pi shetkias shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeiros hakosuv. Even though, if you ask me, why do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? The answer is because God said so. Because it's a pasuk in the Torah. By the way, all discussions of Tameh HaMitzvos reference this Rambam. Because it's such a classic formulation. On the one hand, the Rambam says, you know why you blow shofar? Because God said so. Now that God said so, let's find a deeper meaning. Let's find a reason. Let's make the mitzvah more meaningful to us. So the Rambam says, even though it's Gzeir Sakasov, Remez Yeshbo, there's a hint to the deeper meaning. Kolomar Uru Yishenim Yishinaschem V'nidom Hakitzu Mitardim Aschem. Says the Rambam, you know, the post says, when you hear shofar, you get scared and you wake up and you do tshuva and you do self-introspection. Who are these people? Eilu ha-shochechim et ha-emet b'havlei hazman v'shogim kol shnasam behevel varik asher lo yo'il v'lo yatzil. These people who, you know, time just passes them by. They're not focused on anything of value. They're not focused on anything that's useful eternally. These people, habitu l'nafsho seichem vehitivu darchechem, the sound of shofar is supposed to say to them, you know, do a cheshbon anefesh. Look at your lives. V'yazov kol achad mikem darko hara'a u'machshavto asher lo tova. And each of you, when you hear the sound of a shofar, should commit to leaving your bad ways and your bad thoughts, and doing tshuva. So here the Rambam says an interesting thing. The mitzvah of shofar we do because it says so in the Torah. But there's something much deeper behind it. There's something much more meaningful behind it. You know, I'll contrast it because it's easy to do. Contrast it with lulav. You don't find descriptions of lulav like this in the Rambam or any place. Right? You know, we shake a lulav because the Torah says shake a lulav. But the Rambam says, yeah, the Torah says blow shofar also. But everybody understands that there's something much deeper behind blowing shofar. And if you want to claim that, look, you found this nice Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, it's like a philosophic Rambam. It's a Musar type of Rambam. It's not a Halacha type of Rambam. So let's look at a Halacha type of Rambam in source number 8 in Hilchos Shofar. Here the Rambam says, Hamit asek bitkiat shofar lehitlamed. Let's say you're blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but you're blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah because you want to see if you could blow, because somebody is teaching you how to do it so that you can do it later in the day. Don't know. You're blowing as practice, but you blew. Says the Rambam, lo yatsa yidei chovato. You are not, such a person is not yotze his mitzvah of shofar. V'chein, hashomea min hamitasek lo yatsa. If you hear shofar blowing from somebody who's not intending to be yotze the mitzvah, he's practicing, he's just playing around, but he's great. You're not yotze. Niskaven shomea lotze yidei chovaso v'lo niskaven atokea. You're listening to the person blow and you're saying, you know, hinini mucharim zum l'kayim mitzvah sase shel tkias shofar, but he's not thinking that. Or the reverse. V'hatokea lahotzio o shen niskaven hatokea lahotzio v'lo niskaven ashomea. The guy blowing has in mind to be motzi anybody who hears, but you're walking past shul and the window's open, but you're not, you're planning to hear shofar later. And then you don't. Lo yatsa yidei chovato ad sheyitkaven shomea umashmia. Says the Rambam, the only way to be yotze the mitzvah of shofar is if the person blowing has kavana to be motzi you, and if you have kavana to be yotze with his blowing. So you could say, and it's fair, okay, fine, the Rambam paskins mitzvos tzrichos kavana. That's a major machlokes. But he doesn't really paskin that way. For example, the Rambam says, if you ate matzah and you had no intention to be yotzei the mitzvah, you're still yotzei the mitzvah. You don't need kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Let's do one that affects all of us. How do we take dalid minin? Meaning, what's the process by which we do it? So the answer is, as everybody will focus on in 2 weeks, I suppose, right? You pick up your esrog upside down. You make the bracha. Then you turn it right side up and you shake. Why? So the answer is, because we want to make a bracha over la'asiyasa. We want to make the bracha before we yotze the mitzvah. And once you pick up your lulav and esrog, you yotze the mitzvah. Aye, so why don't we just have negative kavana? The answer is apparently it wouldn't work. Because in this case, mitzvah ain on tzrichos kavana. And therefore, you have to hold it upside down. So broadly speaking, it's not clear how we paskin. But here the Rambam paskins that you need kavana. And it's very similar to how the Rambam paskins with respect to tefillah. Right? The Rambam paskins with respect to tefillah that you need kavana. Now, isn't that inconsistent with his psak that you don't need kavana for matzah or for lulav? The answer is no. The distinction may be that act-based mitzvos don't need kavana. And you did the act, right? We paskin bizarrely, you know, if you drop money and a poor person picks it up, you got a mitzvah of tzedakah because you did the act. You didn't have in mind to do the act, doesn't matter. But tefillah, if you don't have kavana, so you didn't daven. And here you start to get the sense, this Rambam and the previous Rambam, that shofar is a unique mitzvah. That shofar may be closer to tefillah than it is to examples that we would compare to, like matzah and shofar, and like matzah and lulav. Because it's not just the act. It's not just I heard a shofar. I have to have heard a shofar from somebody who intended to be motzi me. I had to have in mind to be yotze. Why? Because there's an experience behind shofar. Uru Yisheni Mishinasem. It's not just an act. It's supposed to affect you. And it's possible that if it doesn't affect you, you didn't get the mitzvah. Somebody was just asking a question.
Yeah, is this more like kabanos then?
More like what?
Kabanos, meaning that it has a value in itself of avoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's an elevated beyond, you know, just a plain aspect of avodas Hashem from the kehila.
I don't know. I don't. Again, the parallel that makes the most sense to me is tefillah. I don't know exactly, you know, how to compare it to karbanos.
Because you're constantly saying that it's like tefillah, but it's way beyond tefillah because it has a level of deraisa and importance that supersedes tefillah.
Okay, but I happen to think that the Rambam paskins that tefillah is deraisa. We saw a sheet of Rashi that I think in this context, tefillah together with shofar would be daraisa. And I'm trying, look, I know that the Rav compared it to tefillah. So I'd rather disappoint you, Henry, than the Rav. It doesn't mean that you're wrong. Maybe the Rav didn't think of karbanos, or maybe he thought tefillah was the better example. I don't know. I hate to pull out his name, but, you know, it's Henry. I got to just move on.
To support Henry, right, there is the philosophy that shofar is, and the whole point of the trua is decrying the sobbing, which is wordless tefillah. So I think you're in the right vein, Henry, but I don't know about kabanos either, but there is that that idea that it is tefillah.
Okay, so why would you pretend to be supporting Henry when you're supporting me? I understand that, you know, no one wants to pick a fight with Henry, but that's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. And that's the point we're driving to. Let's look at source number 9. Here you see a really strange halacha. The Gemara is talking about a machlokas about what's the shape of a shofar. Not where it comes from, not the sound, just what's the shape. And the Gemara says as follows: Chavav and Bet in Rosh Hashanah. But my kamiflege, what's the machlokas? Mar savar b'Rosh Hashanah kama dekayif inish daita tzvei male. The shita that says that your shofar is supposed to be rounded believes that on Rosh Hashanah a person is supposed to be, you know, rounded or bent over. Ubiyom Kippurim. But on Yom Kippur, you're supposed to be straight, you're supposed to be upright, and therefore the Torah should, the shofar should reflect your posture. And Rashi explains as follows. Rashi says, Kama dekayif inish bitfiloso. The reason you need a bent shofar is because you're supposed to be bent when you daven. Panav kivushin la'aretz. Your face facing down, tfei adif. The more that you're bent over on Rosh Hashanah, the better. Mishum vayu einai v'li bisham, because you're supposed to look down. Hilkach, b'Rosh Hashanah delitfila. On Rosh Hashanah, where shofar serves a purpose of davening, ulehazkir akedas Yitzchak ba, and it also reminds us of the akedah, ba'inan kfufin. It needs to be bent over. So here you have really an amazing halacha. The amazing halacha is not just that shofar represents a form of tefillah or is involved in tefillah, but that the shape of a shofar is supposed to reflect our posture in davening. And that's a step forward, meaning it's shofar is not just in substance a form of tefillah. It's a form of tefillah in form, right? A shofar itself, the physical form of a shofar, is supposed to reflect how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. When you see a shofar, you're supposed to think to yourself, that's how I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be bent over. I'm not supposed to be upright. It's really a very, very unique halacha. It's not just that we're supposed to experience shofar in a certain way, but what a shofar looks like is supposed to give us a sense for our attitude towards shofar and how we're supposed to understand it and how we're supposed to relate to it. Now, let's come back to one of the questions we asked. One of the questions we asked was the following. How come the Gemara says that Yun Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar only applies in the Kodesh HaKadashim, and yet you're not allowed to use a shofar of an ox or a bull? Why not? Because even though you're blowing it outside of the Kodesh HaKadashim, here it is, Kevan de Lizikaronhu Kibifnim Dami. Since it's supposed to remind God of something, it's as if you're doing it in the Kodesh HaKadashim. Now, here's a Rav idea that I think is just staggering. What does it mean that it's as if you were in the Kodesh HaKadashim? So here's the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, source number 10, Perek Dal Halacha Tezayin. The Rambam, as we mentioned before, holds that without Kavana, there's no Tefillah. Right? Mitzvah Strichos Kavana with respect to Tefillah. So what's the Kavana? Says the Rambam. Ketzed hu HaKavana. Sheyifne et libo mikol ha-machshavot. You're supposed to try to empty your mind of all distractions. V'yireh atzmo ki'ilu hu omed lifnei ha-shechina. And you should imagine, you should see yourself as if you're standing in front of the Shechina. Now, that's a lovely idea. But how helpful is it if you know, no one knows what it means to stand in front of the Shechina? We don't know what it looks like. Okay, I'll admit that when I was a kid, it looked like a big cumulus cloud. Maybe I've moved on, maybe I haven't. But what does it mean that you're standing in front of the Shechina, which is what you're supposed to imagine when you're davening? So let's look at another Rambam. Here's the source number 11. Here's the Rambam in Perek Hey, the next Perek, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam says, where do you face when you daven? So we know this, but it's a nice halacha to read. Also, because it gets me to stick it to you. Nochach ha-mikdash ketzad. What does it mean to face the mikdash? So, haya omed b'chutz la'aretz, machzir panav nochach eretz Yisrael mit palel. So if you're in Teaneck, you face east, right? And you go to somebody's house or whatever. There's always like, there's a sign that says Mizrach. Haya omed ba'aretz, if you live in Israel, mechavenet panav kineged Yerushalayim. Now you're not facing Eretz Yisrael. You're here already. You have to face Yerushalayim. That's why, although we don't have it, I always wanted to get a tzafon sign for my house because Efrat is south of Jerusalem. So it's always nice. I mean, like, people come over and, I don't know, some girls come for Shabbos. They don't go to shul. So they say, which way is east? So I tell them which way is east. And then I tell them, but that's not the way you want to face when you daven. Okay? So you have to face Yerushalayim. Haya obed b'Yerushalayim mechavein panav kineged ha-mikdash. If you're in Yerushalayim, so then you face the makom ha-mikdash. Haya omed b'mikdash, or in our case, sorry to say, you're at the Kotel, mechavein panav kineged beit kodesh hakodashim. If you're at the Kotel, you're really supposed to turn left because the kodesh hakodashim is, the kodesh hakodashim is opposite. If you went inside and then you walk through the tunnels, continuing along the line of the Kotel, right? I don't know, 100 meters to the left of where you daven outside or 200 meters, that's where you'd be. So in theory, you want to turn left at the Kotel. But what are you trying to be? Where are you supposed to be facing? The answer really is Beit Kodesh HaKadashim. Now, if you put the two Rambams together, what does the Rambam mean when he says during Shmona Esrei, you're supposed to imagine that you're Omed Lifnei Ashchina? The answer is you're supposed to imagine that you're standing in the Kodesh HaKadashim. Now, I can tell you, I try to do this because it's helpful to Kavana if you have like a touchstone, right? So if your mind is wandering and then all of a sudden you imagine yourself standing in the Kodesh HaKadashim, right? It changes your davening. Now, I will admit to you, as hard as I try, when I close my eyes and I'm in the Kodesh HaKadashim, it has maroon carpeting. Now, I'm pretty sure that it didn't have maroon carpeting, but that's what I got. That's how I imagine it. But the answer is when you daven, you're in the Makom HaMikdash. No, you're in the Kodesh HaKadashim. So all of a sudden, when the Gemara says, wait, when you blow shofar, it can't be a reminder of the Akedah, because it's as if you're standing in the Kodesh HaKadashim. What the Gemara is saying is, blowing shofar is tefillah. And tefillah is kineged the Shekhinah. And the Shekhinah is in the Kodesh HaKadashim. It's as simple as that. It's not that shofar is some, you know, some act-based mitzvah. Shofar is an act-based mitzvah that only exists if the internal part works, right? You know, the Rav used other terminology in other places. There's the Maisa HaMitzvah and the Kiyum HaMitzvah. So in this case, you could argue, you know, the Maisa HaMitzvah is hearing, but the Kiyum HaMitzvah is having it enter your heart. The Kiyum HaMitzvah is whoever said before, but he said it very well, except for the part of supporting Henry. Yes, it's a wordless tefillah. It really is. The way the Rav described it, and it's so beautiful. The Rav said, you know the feeling you get after you daven that you didn't daven well? You said all the words, but you didn't daven well. He said that's what shofar is. Shofar is the next step up from davening. Shofar is, you know, whether you, obviously it's the broken sound and it's the cry, but the Rav thought in many ways it's like an animal cry. You have no place to turn. There's nothing left. All you have is God, and even the words fail you. That's when you have shofar. And I think, you know, the idea is when people ask, like, what should I think about during shofar? So I don't really know the answer. But it's supposed to be personal. And I think it can be in English. I think it's supposed to be in English. You know, Rav Asher likes to say that Malachim, some Zohar, the Malachim don't understand Aramaic. So the really personal things we say to God, we say in Aramaic because the Malachim won't intervene. So happens to me, I asked him, is it a din in Aramaic or is it a din that it's not in Hebrew? So he said, I don't really know, but I suppose it's a din that it's not in Hebrew. In which case, if you want to tell God a secret, you speak English. Now, you can't speak during Tekiah Shofar, but I think that that's really what it is. You have this medium called shofar, which is shaped the way we're supposed to be shaped and all these other things. And we can take whatever thoughts we have and whatever requests we have and whatever things we want to say to God and attach them to shofar. It's not supposed to be a passive experience. It's supposed to be an active experience in which we're putting literally, you know, it's the difference between, if I could say this, a nigun that has no words, you know, but has huge content because you could imagine anything fitting in, and a song that has words. Right? The Rav pointed out that the language of Shomea kol tiruat amo Yisrael barachamim really should have been Shomea kol tefilat amo Yisrael barachamim. They're almost interchangeable words. In which case, if you go back to where we started, remember I said Jackie didn't like it. So what? That the first two Rambams seem inconsistent, right? One time the Rambam says, the mitzvah is lishmoa kol shofar be'echad b'tishrei. And then in the halacha, the Rambam says, the mitzvah is lishmoa truat ha-shofar b'Rosh Hashanah. And the answer is, yeah, it's exactly. The external mitzvah from the outside, if you just focus on the act is to hear the sound of a shofar on a particular date, which is the first day of Tishrei. But when you get into the halacha, when you get into the substance is no, to hear a shofar, that the sound of a cry that breaks you, not on any random day, on Rosh Hashanah, where it's unique, where it serves a purpose that it wouldn't serve on any other day. And so, yeah, the mitzvah is to hear shofar. That's the mitzvah. But behind it is to experience shofar. Behind it is a mitzvah unlike matzah and lulav. And in this case, unlike davening, because davening requires words. But here we get to, you know, something above davening. Whether you want to call it karbanos or whatever, it doesn't matter. it's a form of super davening that shofar allows us to participate in. And when you do that, according to Rashi at least, even your davening becomes daraisa. It raises everything up. So in the end, forgetting the lumbus, forgetting anything else, you know, Musaf on Rosh Hashanah is unique. Musaf on Rosh Hashanah allows us to pray in a way that we're not allowed to do all year long, and to raise the level of prayer that we do all year long to a higher level. Right? That's what I got. Ksiva v'achasim atova to everybody. It really is a privilege for me to learn with you every week. I suppose we'll continue for some period of time still, but it should be a great year for everybody, a healthy year for us, for all of our families. Amen. To good things.
Same to you, Ellie. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you.